Kelly called and said that she didn't think she wanted to venture up the ramp out there with snow on it, and so she will be visiting in Gardner Road today. And she said Kay will not drive if there's any snow anywhere, so she won't be here. Don't know about Laverne and Shirley. That is always stuck in my mind ever since that TV show. You can't say Laverne without saying Shirley. Laverne and Gail, I'm not sure. We didn't have as much snow in Anacortes as you have over here on the ground, that is. But, at least where we live over there. Day before, was it Friday we had snow? Or yesterday?
Oh, Friday.
Yeah. Friday. We had snow up on the hill where we live, but there wasn't any downtown area. There they are, Laverne and Shirley and Gail. We're in lesson 12 in the, what are these called? God Builds a Nation. Probably you don't really need a lesson sheet, but we'll be on the second sheet, on the second side, rather, of the sheet at the top. Actually, it begins down at the bottom there, Battles in the Wilderness. And I'm starting late. We have learned a number of things as we journey with the Israelites, that God is not pleased with people who try to usurp the position of others, and what would be the example of what we have already studied, that was the case more than once, that people either tried to usurp or they were displeased that another person had a particular position, I'll call it. Aaron, go ahead. Aaron and Miriam, as Paul said. That's what you were thinking? We've been studying Cain and Abel. Is that what you said? Somebody said?
I was saying Cain and Abel as in, because
he didn't like it. Okay. That was about 10 years ago when we studied Cain and Abel, right?
I still remember.
You still remember? Ken? Okay. Aaron and Miriam was mentioned first, and the results of that, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, that Moses, you just got too much authority. And so what was the results, the punishment, I'll put it that way, of that situation?
Miriam got leprosy.
Korah and the 250 men basically said the same thing. And am I getting the feedback? This mic might be on, but no, it's not. Anyway, what happened there where they complained about Moses and have too much authority with him? Okay. Did those fellows live? What happened to them?
Swallowed up.
God opened up the earth. And in those instances, there was what we might call some complaining, but the children of Israel have been complaining ever since they left Egypt, just about. And we also studied when they did, the last time that they did, if I recall correctly, they complained about not having the water and the food that they had in Egypt, and oh, but it was so much better back then, but they had a short memory, didn't they? And what happened to those people that did that complaining? Bitten by poisonous snakes. And was there any remedy for that?
Yes.
Not for the people that was already bitten and died, but for those people that were alive. They went down the Jordan River and dipped seven times.
No.
Moses made a bronze serpent, and he put it on a pole, and whoever did what? Looked on that pole. What caused them to look on it?
They were bitten by a snake.
Those people weren't, but, well, yeah, okay, I said, God. But what caused the people to look on that pole?
They wanted to be cured.
They what?
They wanted to be cured.
They want to be cured.
They had faith.
Or they wouldn't have looked at that pole. That's what I'm getting at. All right, so they're coming into the around the wilderness, near getting into the promised land. And what I want to do this morning is, application of what we just got through talking about. God requires faithfulness on the part of His people. And when they were not faithful, we even talked about the fellow that picked up sticks on the Sabbath day. God requires faithfulness. He desires faithfulness, maybe a better way of putting it. And like, for instance, the fellow that in the 15th chapter of Numbers that picked up sticks on the Sabbath day, he sinned, didn't he? And God had punishment for him. And what kind of punishment was it?
Death,
yeah, what kind of death is what I was getting at? Stoned him. So God is a merciful God to bring the children out of Egypt and give them his commandments, his laws, his precepts, and yet he requires faithfulness. And it shows us that he is also a just God. And so I realize that some of us are not really into geography and history and reading maps and so on. But I want to, at the top of the page there, on the lesson 12 on the second side, we read this last week that the militarism of the Israelites developed during the wilderness wandering as they met several of their enemies in battle. And we discussed this last week, that this period served as a boot camp for the later wars that would secure the land of Canaan. Now, why would we want to, as I'm going to do, why would we want to read about these wars? I mean, they're there in Numbers, the 21st chapter. And it's just a bunch of battles that those people had with some of the people in the land, particularly right now on the east side of the Jordan River. Does it tell us anything? Well, that's a kind of a hard question to have in my mind to phrase it. Does it tell us anything about God, Jehovah God, that's leading these people to read these this account in the 21st chapter now of Numbers? That's where I'm going to be going. And does it tell us anything about, and we mentioned this last week or week before sometime or other, does it tell us anything about the people in the land of Canaan that where these people are going? And I know those questions are rather vague. If I can think of it another way. Ken, do you have a thought?
Well, I have been wondering about Korah's group. Were they Levites? Were they all Levites?
Yep.
Under this?
Is that right? They were Levites, weren't they? Yes.
Okay, so that leaves a lot of the congregation of Israel weren't involved in what took place there then, as far as individuals that were not Levites.
Yeah, those 250 were Levites. There were three fellows, Dathan, Abiram. Am I thinking the right ones? Anyway, yeah. The rest of Israel wasn't involved as so far as that rebellion, if you want to call it that. Yeah.
Well, I guess, in fact, as far as their designation was, they were holy, but they weren't.
Yeah, the Levites and all the children of Israel, really, they were set apart by God. That's what holiness is. But in their actions, they weren't holy, right?
Right.
And we can do the same or be the same today. We're children of God. We've been set apart. We're holy. So therefore, we don't sin. No, we may sin. Well, anyway, I thought I'd take probably the time this morning to look at this 21st chapter of Numbers and read it. And I have a map up here, and it's small, and I've halved it, and then the next slide I'll show you half of the map and then so forth. But, and I wish... I don't know if it'd help to have the lights off or not, Ted. But to me, it's very interesting as the people come into the land. Oh, I hit the thing, didn't mean to. As the people come into the land, they're coming from down here in Egypt, and they've wandered in the wilderness. And it's interesting that, of course, the spies went into the land. They spied it out all the way up and down here. Came back and said, we can't take it except for Caleb and Joshua. So they're down here wandering in the wilderness, and they're not going to go back into the land this way, but they're going to come around this way. And these battles that are listed in Numbers 21st chapter happen all over on this side. This is the Dead Sea, if you can see that probably. The Jordan River here. There are four important rivers. And we'd probably call them creeks or shallow streams because it's so dry over there. This is the Zered from the south end of the Dead Sea. This one runs into the Dead Sea here. And this is the Arnon. And see if I can see the other one. And this one here, both of these, the Zered and the Arnon, run into the Dead Sea. And then here's the Jabbok, and that runs into the Jordan River. And then you have, I've already forgotten that one. I can't read it. What is it? Yarmouk. Okay. This one up here is I don't know why I forgot that. The Yarmouk runs into the Jordan River just below the Sea of Galilee. Anyway, notice now that what happens. As the people are coming into the land, and whether or not they go through Edom or whether or not they go through Moab and so forth, and chapter 22 and 23 are very interesting as to what happens over here in a very familiar story probably with Balak and Balaam, but that's getting ahead of our story. But here's the point. I'll tell you before we go through it. When the children of Israel come over here and they defeat the people that they face, and as I said, we kind of mentioned it a week ago, maybe earlier than that, the people in the land here hear about their battles, right? And who's at who's in Jericho? Rahab. Is one of the ones that hears about these battles over here that the Israelites won, and so they're fearful of these Israelites. Anyway, I think that's one thing, if not many, that God has Numbers 21 and all these battles related. And it'll help us also to understand that there is Edom, Moab, Ammon, and up here is Bashan and the kingdom of Og and so forth. They've got some very odd names for kings over here, and we'll look at that. So what I'll do, want to do, is to read the text here and see if we can follow the Israelites as they fight these battles. I don't know if that'll help me or not. But chapter 21 of Numbers, when the Canaanite, the king of Arad, who lived in the Negeb, heard that Israel was coming by the way of the Ahrim, he fought against Israel and took some of them captive. And Israel vowed a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will indeed give us this people into my hand, then I will devote their cities to destruction." And the Lord heeded the voice of Israel and gave over the Canaanites, and they devoured them, or devoted them, and their cities to destruction. So the name of the place was called Homah. Let me get the... Now what I'm going to do is just look at the bottom part of this map right here. You see Homah right there? That's the battle. Now it's really right at the very southern end of what the people are going to inherit here. But the king of Arad. Now that name is right there. That's where the king was. And he took some people captive, right? And so the Israelites vowed to God, if they would give him these people, then they would devote them. That's kind of an odd way of putting it, maybe to me, but they would devote them to destruction. So God gave the Israelites the victory here, and it was at this place right here. That's at the western, to the west of the Sea of Dead Sea. Okay? So what they're going to do is kind of start the battles here, and then they're going to come around over this way. Then chapter 21, verse 4, this is where the people complained, and Moses made the fiery serpent of bronze. So we'll skip verse 4 through verse 9. So in verse 10 of Numbers 21, it says, "And the people of Israel set out and camped in Hoboth." Is this mount big enough you can see that? So they set out from here, and they camped right here. This is showing a stream of water here, but it's probably a dry wadi, as they call it. This is Edom's territory, so to speak, down here. But this is the Arabah, if you can see that. It just means the southern end here. So the people go from there, and they come down here and camp at Hoboth. And they set out from Hoboth, or Hoboth is probably as pronouncing, and camped at Ira-Abrim in the wilderness that is opposite of Moab toward the sunrise. That last place is not named on this map, but the last place we have them is right here. And verse 12, "From there they set out and camped in the valley of Zered." Now, this is the Zered River. And so it's in the valley somewhere, probably along there. "And from there they set out and camped on the other side of Arnon." Oh, there's the Arnon. So they are going to go that far, if I'm correct here. And which is in the wilderness that extends from the border of the Amorites, for the Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Is that right? The Arnon is the boundary between Moab and Ammon. Okay? So that gives us a geographical place right there. Verse 14, "Therefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, Wahib in Suphah, in the valley of the Arnon, the slope of the valleys that extend to the seat of Ayr, and leans to the border of Moab. That last AR is right there. And for verse 16, and from there they continued to Beer. That is the well of which the Lord said to Moses, gather the people together so that I may give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing to it, the well that the princes made, that the nobles of the people dug, that the scepter, with a scepter and with their stalls. Now, the word Beer simply means well. There is a Beersheba that is over here, but that's not where they are. So we don't know where this well is. It's not on this map for sure. But what did it say they did? They continued there, gathered people. I'm looking for the word Beer here. What verse did I read that? Oh, there it is, verse 16. And from there they continued to Beer. We don't know where that well is. So, they're somewhere on this territory now, on this east side of the Jordan, the Dead Sea and the Jordan River. And so verse 18 that continues, and from the wilderness they went to Matanana, and from Matanana to Nahalia, and from Nahalia to Bamoth, or to Bamoth. It's really actually Bamoth. And from Bamoth to the valley lying in the region of Moab by the top of Pisgah that looks down on the desert. Do we see Bamoth in there anywhere? I don't think it's on this map either. Anybody know what's the mountain that's named there? Mount Pisgah? It's not on this map. Anybody remember where Mount Pisgah is? And what happened there? We haven't gotten that far. Mount Pisgah is where, when Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land, God took him up on a high mountain, and he said, you can look over into the promised land, but you're not going to go in. It's in this area here. Amman. You know what country, by the way, this is today?
Jordan.
It's Jordan, right. And there's a city, Amman, today in Jordan. Anyway, in a general area, Pisgah is in this area right here. So Moses would have been able to see Jerusalem if it was there. Because Mount Pisgah, by the way, Mount Pisgah, and another name for and it's almost slipped me. Mount Nebo, there I got it. Mount Pisgah is probably, there's several peaks there. And Mount Nebo is one of the peaks in Mount Pisgah. Anyway, I just say Mount Pisgah and Nebo are the same mountain. So if you're looking at your maps in your Bible and you have that designated, Moses was over here. We're getting ahead of our story. But he was able to look over into the land. What I was saying was that the mountains here are high enough and Jerusalem is high enough in elevation that he could have seen the hills where Jerusalem would have been later located. So Moses was able to see it from there. So that's where the children of Israel in this area are doing what they're doing right now. Any question before we go on with verse 21 of chapter 21. 21:21, then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites. Kingdom of Sihon, this map is, so this is the kingdom of Sihon right here. Israel sent messengers to Sihon and said in verse 22, let me pass through your land and we will not turn aside into a field or a vineyard. We will not drink of the water of a well. We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through your territory. By the way, King's Highway, you see this mark right here? That was a trade route, and it went around. And that's the easiest route from the south to the north in Israel, Palestine, or whatever. And this would pass through King Sihon's territory, but what they're saying is we'll not turn from the right or to the left as we go through here. We'll not drink from any water or anything. It's a long story about this, but I'll just mention it right now. Brian's over there in Israel. When I was over there, in order to catch up the group that I was with, I got to Jerusalem, and I needed to go up to Hazor, or up to Sea of Galilee, and I got a taxi guy to take me up there, and he didn't go up this way, up to Galilee. He went from Jerusalem down to Jericho and crossed the Jordan River and went up this side. Why? That was the fastest way to get north, because this is mountainous. This, along by the Jordan River anyway, is rather flat. Anyway, the King's Highway, that's a trade route for many, many years. And it's mentioned here in verse 22, the King's Highway. We'll go by the King's Highway until we have passed through your territory. So we're not going to stop. We're not going to do anything here. Just let us go through your land, Mr. King. Sihon, king of the Amorites. Okay, where were we? But, verse 23, Sihon would not allow Israel to pass through the territory. He gathered all his people together and went out against Israel to the wilderness and came to Jahaz, and fought against Israel. And Israel defeated them with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from Arnon. We heard of that. Took possession of his land from Arnon to the Jabbok. So Israel took possession of all this land. They beat the old king of Sihon. I lost my place here. Verse 24, from the Arnon to Jabbok, as far as to the Ammonites. I'll show you this in just a minute. That's the territory of the Ammonites up there. For the border of the Ammonites was strong. And verse 25, and Israel took all these cities, and Israel settled in all the cities of the Amorites in Heshbon and all of its villages. So what we've done now, we've left the Dead Sea down here, and we just moved up the mount. And so this is the territory of the Amorites right here. The Jabbok River here. The kingdom of Og, or rather Sihon, is here. And what did it mention? Some cities here? Heshbon. I don't think that's on the map either. Verse 26, for Heshbon was the city of Sihon, king of the Amorites. There it is, right there. This is still just east of the Jordan River, Dead Sea. So they fought the Amorites in Heshbon and all his villages. And as far as the Arnon, and let's see now. Therefore, the ballad singers sang a song. Verse 27, come to Heshbon, let it be built. Let the city of Sihon be established, for fire came out of Heshbon, flame from the city of Sihon. It devoured the air of Moab, swallowed the heights of Arnon. Woe to you, O Moab. You are undone, O people of Chemosh. He has made his sons fugitives and his daughters captives to an Amorite king, Sihon. So we overthrew them. Heshbon, as far as Dibon, perished, and we laid waste as far as Naphtah. Fire spread as far as Medeba. I don't know. I don't think there's any of those last ones there on this map. That's poetry that we just read from verse 27 through verse 30. Doesn't make sense. Highly figurative. This is Hebraism. This is the way they spoke. Joel, the second chapter, which Peter quoted in Acts, the second chapter. Highly figurative language. But this poem here is not so figurative that it doesn't tell us that they devoured the land, they conquered the people, and it's a song of victory. That's the best way of putting it. Okay, verse 33 through the end of the chapter, Og is defeated. Who in the world is Og? Well, let's find out. Verse 31, thus Israel lived in the land of the Amorites. Here's the land of the Amorites here. And Moses sent to spy out Jazer, and they captured its villages and disposed the Ammonites who were there. Right there is Jazer. It's in the land of the Ammonites. And they turned and went up by the way of to Bashan. Bashan right there. This area over here. You heard about the cows of Bashan? It's later on in the Old Testament. I can't quote it. But the women the women were like the cows of Bashan. That's later. Way later. What in the world? That's kind of an insult, isn't it? Well, it would be for us. The women were like the cows of Bashan. But what they're saying in that passage, and you can look it up in the concordance where it is, I don't remember right now, that this territory over here, here's the Sea of Galilee, and here's the waters of Merom, and Mount Hermon is up here. This is much more lush country. I mean, down in here, it's kind of desert-like, as it is, where is Jerusalem? As it is from here south, over there. Cows of Bashan were very well fed. They were very well taken care of. They were spoiled. In that passage I partially quoted, the women were like the cows of Bashan. That described their lifestyle. Very picturesque if you get the understanding of it. Anyway, Bashan, that's where the people are headed here. They captured the villages, verse 32, dispossessed the Ammonites who were there. And they turned and went up by the way to Bashan. And Og, the king of Bashan, came out against them, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. Edrei. I did see that on the map somewhere. There it is right there. This is that northern river of Yarmuk. And so it's on a stream there. And so that's where this battle takes place, and I've lost my place. The Lord said to Moses, do not fear them. Fear him, for I have given him into your hand. Who's we talking about? Og, king of Bashan, and all his people and his land. And you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites. Oh, we've already talked about that, haven't we? And who lived in Heshbon. So they defeated him and his sons and all his people until he had no survivor left, and they possessed his land. Now, all of that, it's just a bunch of history, isn't it? Just a bunch of stuff going on the east side of the Jordan River. But there's two things, one not so important maybe. There's two things. One, not all the battles took place on the west side of the Jordan River when Joshua led them into the land. They did fight some battles on the east side. And it's also on the east side where some tribes did take some territory. They requested that they settle on the east side. Do you remember which ones those were? We're getting ahead of our story again. Manasseh and Reuben. How about Gad? Gad, Manasseh, and Reuben. They had territory. And one of them had some territory on the east side of the Jordan River as well. But to here while Moses was still alive, the people conquered these people on the east side of the Jordan River, the Dead Sea, the Sea of Galilee. And as I said, and I told you right at the very beginning, one thing that I wanted to do this is to impress upon us how in the world did Rahab and the other people hear about these people that are coming in? And they were fearful of them. Well, somehow or other, already the message has gotten out that about them leaving Egypt. But particularly then, after they get over here on this side and they fight and win all those battles, And that's before they cross the Jordan River and come to Jericho, where Rahab lived. And so, in one sense, the fear of the Lord was in some of the people, and of course Rahab is a prime example of that, before the people ever got into the land. And as I've already mentioned, the people have already fought battles, and Moses hadn't died yet. Now, we have heard that Aaron died, but Moses is still leading the people. I had another thought, and I kept talking and forgot it. Ken?
Yeah, I'm trying to put all this together from Abraham. These tribes, the ones that they're coming in and having to fight against, aren't they the offscouring of Abraham's descendants, so to speak, that his...
Yep. But they're from the family of Abraham. Edom. Who was Edom named after?
Esau.
And so there's descendants of Edom, of Esau. Now it's
Moab and Ammon were from Lot.
Okay, thank you. That's what I knew Moab was from, and Ammon, they were from Lot's. Okay. So, and are they still having trouble over there with these people today?
Yes.
Maybe not so much with the Jordanians, but that's still going on. I mean, and that's the people, sometimes called Palestinians or Arabs, and so forth. Yeah, it gets confusing, doesn't it? Ken, go ahead. Yeah, there could be an allegory. What's another word for that?
Analogy.
Between that, in Brian's lessons on Joshua, he pointed out there's two viewpoints as to what we today could call this land. The one viewpoint is that Beulah land is where we're going after this life. The other point is that coming into this land is the promised land in the spiritual sense for us today in Christ. And Brian has talked about that, so I won't go any further into that. But we've got a song on Jordan's stormy banks, I stand. And look over into the promised land. What's the rest of those words? That's from looking over here and looking into the here, like Moses did. I think just my own personal viewpoint, I think the viewpoint is that we're looking into the spiritual realm where we are right now. But as I say, that was Brian's discussion about the two viewpoints. Either way, it's a allegory or an analogy. Okay, go ahead, Ken.
Then when you think about it, it would have been so easy for them to go up on the west side, but that wasn't the way it could be.
Yeah.
And maybe we would like to go up the west side, too.
Yeah.
And it isn't there. We can't do it.
Right. Some guys did go up the west side, but it wasn't very many guys. How many was it?
12.
Okay. They went all the way up here. And I have a map somewhere. I don't have it in this series of slides, but it shows the route that they took. And they came back with their reports. Okay, so there's somebody who had already been in the land, but not to possess it. God didn't let them possess that land that they spied out first.
Right.
He came around this way. All right. The main thing I wanted to point out, as I said, was that to hear, even though this is history, geography, dry stuff, and can't pronounce the names of the towns and so on, it shows God in his leadership of the people. When they appealed to him, they won the battles on the east side. I'll call it the east side. And the same is going to be true if they do the same thing on the west side. When they came in to possess the land, they're going to have battles under Joshua and the people. And if they appeal to God, remain faithful to God, then he would fight the battles for them. Which reminds me, just while we're thinking about it, Joshua then takes the leadership after Moses dies. And Moses, by the way, where was he buried? You can't find his tomb. That's not what I'm asking. But where was he buried? In Mount Nebo or Pisgah. Same area where he probably looked over to the land. So when Joshua and the people came across into the land, the first place that they fought was Jericho. Did they win that battle? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. That's right here, of course. It's kind of the north end of the Dead Sea. The first place here is Gilgal. They came to Jericho. Where's the next place that they went?
Ai.
To Ai, or Ai. I've been listening to a fellow read the scriptures. He's kind of got an English accent. He pronounces every one of these names different than I did. I've always said it just like Mo did, Ai, but he pronounces it I. Anyhow, when they got to here to fight those people, did they win? Not the first time, because that's when the fella sinned. His name was Achan, and because he took some from Jericho and hid it in his tent. Okay, that's way ahead of our story. Any other thoughts you'd like to add? Go ahead, Ted.
Yeah.
It is west here, but the West Bank was divided after 1948, and Israel was given a section of modern Israel, I'm talking about, was given a section of the land, and the Palestinians were given a section. And so I suppose I ought to go back to this map here. So some of the West Bank here, that's called the West Bank, is kind of a territory in here and even goes down. Where's Hebron? There's Bethel. Mamre, I don't see Hebron on this map. But anyhow, and so Israel, the nation of Israel, has some of this territory here and west of the Jordan River. That's the West Bank. You're right about that. And then they have the area over here, the Gaza Strip. They have some of that. So the Palestinians today, they occupy territory west of Israel and east of it. And I don't see it on this map, but
was it the Gaza Strip? Wasn't that occupied by the Egyptians?
Not now, but it did at one time. They went up there one time and may have conquered some territory, but it's Palestinian right now. Okay, time's gone, and that's what I wanted to do. And I realize that to some it's not interesting, but fascinates me. The next section of this lesson 12 is some very interesting things that happened with Balak. I always called him Balak. Balak and Balaam. Try to get those guys straight, as I've had a hard time of it. And we're familiar with the story, of course, where the guy's donkey talked to him. So look that up next week, and that's what we'll consider. Thanks. You can turn the lights back on, whoever's turned them off. Appreciate that. Yeah, thank you, Jim. Yeah, I love it. Some people don't.
It's hard to get into the Old Testament.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
It's good.